Psalm 46, beginning in verse 1. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
What a wonderful psalm for this season of life. And just let the beginning words of this psalm sort of soak into your soul this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Comforting words for 2020, are they not? And I don't know about you, but I think that some of the sweetest words to hear our God speak to us, and he does many times in Scripture, over 300 times, is when God tells us, even commands us, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. There's something both soothing and powerful about these words. They strike something at the very core of our souls where every once in a while we have the clarity of mind to embrace the fact that we are merely children making our way in a world that is very dark and very confusing and over which we have much less control than we imagine. And we're much more dependent on our Father than we care to admit. And that's why, when the nightmare comes, nothing calms our hearts like our Father holding us close and saying, don't be afraid. And nothing quiets our anxieties in a storm like our Savior who says, peace, be still, why are you afraid? Now, make no mistake, the terrors and troubles of life in this world are real, and the anguish that they produce can be debilitating. God never minimizes the reality of hardship in our lives. That's never the biblical prescription for calming fears, telling ourselves that it's not really that bad. That will drive you insane eventually. No, the Bible is all too honest about the depth of depravity and brokenness and heartache that we endure because of sin. Just look at the Psalms. Heartache is there on every page. Confidence in the midst of trouble. Confidence is the opposite of fear. Confidence in the midst of trouble doesn't come about by our denial of reality, nor is confidence produced by our knee-jerk efforts to manage our circumstances or soften outcomes, much less from blaming others for our troubles. The kind of no-fear confidence that the Bible holds forth is a confident trust in the unchanging character and power and purposes and presence of a God who is with us in the midst of the storm. We don't have to be afraid because of who God is and who God is for us. When we know certain key truths about God, intellectually and experientially, the intended effect is to quell fear in our hearts and to cultivate a confident trust in Him, no matter if or when the troubles end or the storms stop. Our God is a rock. He is a fortress. He is a bulwark never failing. And this is what Psalm 46 is all about. It is a song of radical trust in the Lord in the midst of overwhelming fears and troubles. It's a song to be repeatedly sung by God's people so that we are constantly reminded, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Our God is great and He is with us and He has good purposes for us. Now, we don't know, once again, exactly what led the sons of Korah to compose this psalm. There is a contrast that is made in Psalm 46 between earthly kingdoms and cities, which are all liable to destruction, and the heavenly city of God, which cannot be destroyed. So it's likely that Psalm 46 recalls a time when Jerusalem was besieged by enemy armies. Regardless, the power of this psalm is found in its immediate relevance to God's people in any generation, including ours. And the main message is clear. It's repeated as the refrain or the chorus of this song. Hopefully you heard it as Taylor was reading these verses. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then again in verse 7 and verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so this main idea that God is with us and that He is our refuge, that He is our fortress, a place of safety and security, it gets further developed in the intervening stanzas of this psalm. And three key truths are highlighted. Truths that we need to know about God, not just mentally believe, but these are truths that we are invited to act on, to actually put our lives on and to bake all of our hopes on. Three key truths that we need to know about God so that we won't be afraid and so that we will confidently trust Him in times of trouble. You need to know that God is a powerful helper and that He is a present provider and a glorious warrior. And we're just going to take those one at a time. First, in the midst of trouble, know that God is our powerful helper. He is a powerful helper. Look again at verses 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Now note that the trouble mentioned at the end of verse 1 is detailed in verses 2 and 3. And what is described here is not just an act of nature, it's not the end of the world, but it is a poetic portrayal of what appears to be the unraveling of the order and structure that God instilled at creation. Mountains are supposed to be stable, and yet here they are falling into the heart of the sea. And the sea, which in the ancient world was always a personification of evil, the sea threatens to bring chaos, disorder, instability. And this sort of language is used all throughout the Bible as a metaphorical way to depict events within history that might be described as earth-shaking or earth-shattering. Sieges, wars, the exile and captivity of God's people. The way things ought to be in God's good world devolve into uncreation because of sin. The creation subjected to futility, to use the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 8. And we employ similar language when we encounter trouble in our lives, don't we? We say things like, the world is falling down all around me. Life is coming apart. And that's when the fear sets in. And that's the situation here in Psalm 46. Life feels like it's coming apart. Everything that was once stable and sure and steady no longer is. I've lost my job. I've been furloughed. The savings and the finances are depleted. The test results came back positive. I'm lonely and depressed because I'm isolated at home all by myself. My marriage is on the rocks. Our child has walked away from the Lord. I'm burdened by persistent guilt because of sin and addiction in my life. I have this family member that passed and I couldn't be there, and so I can't stop thinking about it and I can't stop crying. And what's more, I'm filled with anxiety over getting COVID. I'm anxious about all the injustices that I see in our culture played out night after night on the news. I'm anxious about politics and the political landscape. And I'm anxious about the constant change and just the pace of that change in life. And I'm worried about what the future holds for my family. Does this describe you this morning? And if it does, will you be honest with God about your trouble? Will you be honest with God about what is scaring you? And not just with God, but I want to encourage you, let's be honest with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ about our distresses, about our troubles, especially in this season when we are, so many of us, in forced isolation from one another. Did you see that this psalm in verse 1 doesn't say that God is my refuge? God is our refuge. This is a community project. So what do we do to not be afraid in the midst of very real troubles like these? Well, how does the psalm direct us? Look at the very first word of verse 2. The very first word of verse 2. It's the word therefore. And this word tells us that what follows is carried out on the basis of what precedes. And so let me paraphrase it here for you. Even though we are in the midst of trouble, because God is our refuge and strength and help, verse 1, therefore, because those things are true about God, we will not fear, verse 2. So how do you not fear when life is coming apart all around you? You run to God and not away from Him. You run to God, and when you run to God, you will find Him to be a very present help. Such a beautiful phrase, a very present help. Now, that phrase can mean one of two things, both of which are wonderfully true. Very present help can mean that God is always ready to help His children. He is very present in that sense. He's ready to act on our behalf. We don't have to try to persuade God to be our helper. He wants to be our helper. He desires to help His people. Very present can also mean, and if you're using an ESV, you can just see this in the footnote for this phrase. Very present can also mean that God is a well-proved or a well-tested helper in trouble. In other words, He has a track record in our lives. He has a track record in the lives of His people as a faithful, solid, and sure rock. In the midst of trouble, you need to know that God is your helper so that you won't be afraid. So how then does God help us? God's help is explained by two other words in verse 1. He is our helper in that he is our refuge and our strength. Refuge refers to who God is for us objectively. Strength refers to what God gives us subjectively. So he is our refuge. God is a secure fortress that cannot be shaken. He is a place to run to and to find protection and stability when our world caves in on us. And get this, because God is a refuge, it means that nothing is allowed to touch us in his safe arms except what he deems necessary for our eternal good and joy. Nothing. And God is our strength. He enables us to persevere. He empowers us to endure. He grants us his power so that we will not lose our grip on him, even when waters swell and roar. He is our refuge and our strength, a powerful helper. Now, I need you to see this. This is really, really important. The help that God gives is not necessarily immediate extraction out of distress. The help that he gives is something solid to cling to and the power to hold on through the trouble and out the other side. The help that God gives us is himself. He gives us himself. And that's where confidence is to be found when we're afraid. Confidence is found in God and who God is. Beware of attaching your confidence to a hopeful change in your circumstances. Because circumstances are not stable, but God is. God is stable. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has been there for eternity and will be there for eternity. He does not change like shifting shadows. He is secure. That's where confidence is found. And since God is our powerful helper, we can have peace of mind that no storm will be able to separate us from him. No storm. Not even death will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, the trouble that we walk through may change us, but if we have weathered the storm by running to God, the biggest change will be a deeper trust and dependence on the Lord than if there had been no trouble to begin with. Now, that's a good thing, spiritually speaking, and it's part of God's design for hardship in our lives, that we would run to him and that our dependence on him would deepen. But you don't have to be afraid. God has you. He is your very powerful help, and you need to know that when you're in times of trouble and distress. You are not at the mercy of any storm when you hold tightly to God. Second, in the midst of trouble, you need to know that God is our present provider. So not only is he a powerful helper, he is a present provider. Look at verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is present with his people. And did you see that here? Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her, and therefore she shall not be moved. God is with his people. And then again in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. God is present with us. And it makes a huge difference for our confidence in the midst of trouble to know that we are not alone. We're not alone. God is with us. And the evidence of his presence is that he provides exactly what we need in our distress. So just look at how God provides for his people here in this section of the psalm. Look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, in Jerusalem, there's not a river per se, but there are springs underneath Jerusalem that ended up being diverted into tunnels and pools so that the people would have a source of water inside the walls of the city. And this became key to the city during a siege because with a constant supply of water, we can outlast the enemy. We can outlast any distress. And indeed, that happened a number of times in Israel's history. The stream brought hope and gladness to the people, not just for the water that it gave, but the river was seen as God's provision for them at that moment. More than that, it signified that God was present with them, that they were not forgotten in the midst of this trouble. God was there with a providing and sustaining hand. And so if God is here in our midst, even with all this trouble outside of us, even with all of this attack against us, if God is here, what's the worst that the enemy can do to us? He can kill us, but nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. So what is the worst that the enemy can do if God is with us? There is a power when you walk through trouble, a power that comes from knowing that God is with you, that he is with you, that he is present, and that he is providing for you. Now, obviously, we don't live in Jerusalem. The call is not to travel overseas to find a city in which we can experience God's presence and provision. This is not a call to trust in any earthly city. There's no true security to be found in the kingdoms of this world and their systems and their economies and their administrations. In fact, the psalmist tells us here that the kingdoms of the world, look at verse 6, the kingdoms of the world totter. Do you see that word, totter? It means they're unstable. They're not secure. The same Hebrew word was used of the mountains in verse 2. The mountains totter. They're not secure. And even the earthly city of Jerusalem is eventually destroyed when God's people go off into exile and God abandons the city. But, verse 5, this is key, when and where God is present with his people, they will not be moved. They will not totter. The same Hebrew word used the third time. There is a heavenly city that cannot be shaken. And all who love Jesus, we are citizens of that heavenly city. In fact, we are the city, God's people. We are the place where God dwells. And we cannot be shaken because God dwells within his people, his city. And our citizenship in this city was not earned, and it cannot be taken away by the troubles of this life. And the best thing about being a citizen of God's city, God is there. God is there, and he's always with his people. His seal of ownership is always on us, even as we are on mission here in this life. And his presence provides us with everything that we need to confidently trust him when life falls apart. Let me point out one more way that God provides exactly what his people need. Look at verse 7. God here is presented as the Lord of hosts, Yahweh of armies, the God who is with us. When you are under attack, how comforting to know that God has all the forces in heaven at his command and at his disposal. And he will deploy those forces to help us When morning dawns, verse 5. That means when things may even appear to be the darkest, God arrives precisely on time. The fear that threatens to rule in your heart and your mind when trouble strikes, that fear doesn't stand a chance when God breaks over the horizon with his armies behind him. What's more, and I just love this about God here, what's more is that God doesn't really need to use these armies. Look again at verse 6. He simply utters his voice and the enemies are destroyed. He utters his voice. He's that powerful. His voice that brought the world into existence. His voice that brought about the living word that is our salvation. His voice which will one day speak and all the enemies of God will be gone forever. This God is our present provider. He is with us. He gives us all that we need in the midst of trouble, so that we won't be afraid. We don't have to be scared. Now let's pause just for a second and let me address a really practical and important question that you've probably asked before and that you may be asking the Lord a lot right now in this season. Lord, you say that you are with us in trouble and that you provide for your people. But it doesn't always feel like that. It doesn't always feel like that. And so, how can I be sure of your provision and your presence when my life feels like it's coming apart? How can I be sure that when I run to you as a refuge, that I will be okay? That's a legitimate question. And it's a question that we wrestle a lot with at various times over the course of our lives. And it arises because there is this mismatch between what we perceive and what we see when we look at our lives and what God seems to say in his word. How can we be sure, God, that you will be with us and that you will provide for us? Here's the answer that the Bible gives. You can be assured of the Lord's provision and presence with you at all times, because he has already provided for you in the midst of your greatest trouble, your own sin. Your sin, which separated you from God, in a biblical worldview, is your greatest trouble. And I know we walk through things in this life that are so heart-wrenching, they just paralyze us. But the Bible over and over again says that our sin is the biggest distress that we face. But in our sin, God has provided a Savior, his own Son. Jesus walked through the trouble and the suffering that your sin and my sin caused on the cross, trouble that we deserved, and he did it out of great mercy and love so that you might be rescued and so that the fear of separation from him would be removed. God has provided for us fully and finally in our greatest trouble through his Son. And what's more, in Christ, we have been made a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is now with us always. The Spirit, who is likened by Jesus, get this, to streams of living water flowing from our hearts. Does that language sound familiar? Psalm 46, verse 4. Streams that make us glad, streams that represent God's provision and his presence with us, the Holy Spirit, streams of living water flowing from our hearts. God has acted in Christ and by his Spirit to provide for us and to be present with us in our greatest trouble. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has already provided in the best way possible. He is already present with us by his Spirit. And so, how will he not give us exactly what we need to hold fast to him throughout any other distress in this life now as his adopted children? He will. He will. He is our present provider always. And the gospel is 100% proof of that. Third, in the midst of trouble, know that God is our victorious warrior. Our victorious warrior. So God is our powerful helper, he is our present provider, and he is our victorious warrior. Look at verses 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So in these verses, we look ahead to the certain final victory in which our God will be exalted as the Most High God. All wars are brought to an end because God destroys all the instruments of war. He breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, he burns the chariot with fire. No more distress, no more storms, no more troubles that would cause us to fear. The future belongs to God alone, and he will win. He will be victorious. And that is certain. That's what we see here in these verses. But it's not just that God wins. The reason why he wins is just as critical for us to understand. And we see it in verse 10. This verse that many of us probably have memorized. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So what is God saying here? God wants to be acknowledged as the one and only absolute sovereign king over all the earth. God wants his glory, his fame, his honor to be displayed among all the nations. He wants the worship that he alone is due. And this drives everything that God does. He will never finally share his glory. He will never finally share his exaltation with another. Victory is certain because God loves and is jealous for his own glory. Now, this is, in the first instance, bad news for the nations that rage against and defame God. Bad news for any who would cause God's people trouble. And so, the nations are told in verse 10, be still. Cease your boasting. No more trouble will come from you. Stop acting like you are sovereign. Stop acting like you are God. I alone am the glorious and exalted one over the nations, and that will be made clear one day soon. The things that cause us trouble, the things which cause us to fear, though they seem so big when we are right in the middle of them, they will soon be banished forever. So take heart. Take heart. The certainty of God's victory and glory is good news for those who love God. It's good news for those who find in God a refuge. Good news for those who run to God in the midst of trouble. And so to the fearful and restless heart, God says, be still. Cease trying to endure your troubles in your own strength and with your own resources. I am in control of history, and your life is not outside of my good purposes. God's glorious victory over all the evil forces in heaven and on earth means that he will not fail to get glory and to achieve his victory in your life. All the purposes that he has for you, even in the hardships, will be guided to completion by his sovereign command. The troubles of your life do not thwart his plans. Isn't that comforting? The troubles of your life do not thwart his good plans for you. And you need to know that when the troubles cause fear to rise in your hearts. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And he has taken that project upon himself. And inasmuch as he cares about his glory and the sufficiency of Christ's work, which is infinite, he cares about his glory and the sufficiency of Christ's atonement infinitely, inasmuch as he cares about those things, he will not fail in your life. You will be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, no matter what troubles you walk through. You will be fit for the new creation. You will be filled with an unshakable joy on that final day of victory. You will. You are more than conquerors through him. What wonderful truths to build confident trust in times of trouble. So be still, O people of God. Be still. You do not need to fear the storm. You do not need to fear the hardship. You do not need to fear the trouble. You don't need to fear what the second half of 2020 may bring. You don't. God is your powerful helper. God is your present provider. God is your victorious warrior. Wonderful words to meditate on this morning. Let's pray. And as we come to prayer, I wonder if you would just take a moment here to be still. Meditate on these glorious realities about God and how they might minister to you right now in the midst of whatever you're walking through. So let's just be still before our sovereign God. And so we cry out to you, O Lord. In the midst of our distress, life feels like it's falling around. Things are coming apart at the seams. We cry out to you, we run to you, we thank you for being our refuge and strength, our powerful helper. Thank you for being our present provider, supremely in your Son, and by your Spirit. And we praise you as our glorious and victorious warrior, whose good purposes will stand. And so dispel fear from our hearts as we run to you and as we worship you. We love you. You are our matchless God. Amen.